This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You probably donated to a fundraiser recently, maybe a GoFundMe for someone in need or a bucket collection at your local shops. Well, most of us want to help where we can, but how do you know if the money is going to where it is supposed to go? And what if you're the one organising a fundraiser? What do you need to do to make sure you're doing it legally? Well, joining us now for our regular chat is Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. Nicole, good to chat with you again.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Let's talk about fundraising. What are some of the things we need to know before we start fundraising?
Yes. Thank you for asking that, because we do see people get into trouble with this. And, you know, it is fantastic that we have a community that when you see need, people organise, they start collecting funds to help with, you know, help friends or an organisation or a cause. And generally speaking, especially with small fundraising, you're basically going to be fine. But there are quite clear laws that apply to fundraising in Victoria. And we do see people run into a bit of trouble if they haven't researched and done things right before they start a fundraiser. And probably if I say nothing else this afternoon, I would say, you know, do that research before you start going out there and calling for donations or collections for some kind of a cause, because those laws do apply, and you need to know what your obligations are going to be before you start collecting money.
Nicole, you just reminded me. I remember back in corporate world, there was often the chocolate fundraiser that would happen. I wonder if that still happens. The chocolate was yum. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from, but I just remember these big, long, solid blocks of chocolate would appear throughout the year, and there'd be some sort of fundraising thing going on. Do you remember those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, fundraising takes all sorts of forms. And I mean, one of the things that I think it's really important for people to understand is people sort of say, well, what's fundraising? Am I fundraising? I'm just collecting by myself or with some friends or whatever it is. And I think my answer generally is yes. whatever you're thinking, it probably is covered by Victoria's fundraising laws, because right. The definition is pretty broad, right? It's any kind of soliciting of any money or goods or any other resources from pretty much anybody for any kind of purpose that's not your own profit or commercial benefit. So as soon as you're collecting, even for yourself, if it's kind of for a cause or for a beneficiary of some sort, and whether you're collecting food or clothes or money or services, that is going to be fundraising. So everything from the chocolate appeal at work, door knock appeals, a movie night, a trivia night, a public auction, a dinner dance, clothing bins, you know, all of those kind of things, they're all covered by Victoria's fundraising laws.
Nicole, did you ever get the chocolates and say, yeah, I'll sell a bunch of them for you, whoever's raising the money, and then go home, eat them all and have to pay for them yourself?
Just going to plead the fifth. That's an American thing, but I might just do that there. You've just triggered a long, dormant memory.
I know.
Exactly. Look, I figure as long as you raise the money and it goes to a good cause and you comply with the law, is anybody being harmed by that conduct? I'm not sure that they are.
I agree. I've done it. I probably did it every time. Now, I suppose fundraising also includes conducting a raffle, doesn't it? If you've got a chook and you want to raffle it off.
Oh, well, that is a great question. So it is not covered by Victoria's fundraising rules because raffles and bingo are considered forms of gambling or gaming.
So they are
regulated. So you're absolutely right to note that they're going to be something that is going to be covered by laws, but they're covered by the Gambling Regulation Act. So if you're thinking about doing something like that, like a raffle or a lottery or any kind of gaming activities, you definitely need to do your homework first. You should go to our sort of colleagues at the Gambling and Casino Control Commission, and they'll have information there. You're probably going to need a permit if you want to do that kind of activity.
How do we register our fundraiser and what information is needed?
Look, it's pretty easy to register. So, again, one of my key messages would be if you're thinking of doing any kind of fundraising, and as I said, it's pretty broad, and it doesn't matter if you're a person, an organisation, a group of people, whatever it is, if you think you're going to be raising more than $20,000, then you're going to need to register. If you're doing a really small fundraising effort and you're not going to get anywhere near $20,000, you're probably not going to need to register. Mm. But as soon as you've you're approaching that $20,000 mark, that's essentially the threshold in Victoria. So then you must register as a fundraiser with Consumer Affairs Victoria. There are a few exemptions, but if you know, and there's some technical sort of things there, but essentially that's the test. If you're paying anybody to help with the fundraising, you'll also need to register regardless of the amount you're collecting. So you're only exempt if it's a small amount, less than $20,000, and you're only using unpaid efforts and volunteers. It is pretty easy though. It is free to register. There's an online process. You can go to our website to do it. But again, because, you know, I think the community wants to have confidence that if they're going to be donating money, that it's going to the cause that it says it's going to and so on. There are some additional requirements. So when you register, we will ask you some questions about, you know, who you're fundraising for. Is that organisation or cause, are they comfortable with you fundraising? You'll need to tell, you know, if it's a specific organisation or something like that, you'll need to have their sort of approval that they're happy for you to fundraise for them. And you probably will need to agree to a criminal history check and so on, because there are some tests under the law, like, you know, you can't have been found guilty of fraud or dishonesty offences, you can't be bankrupt. Those kind of things are taken into account as well.
Would Consumer Affairs Victoria ever refuse an application for a fundraiser?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, generally speaking, we're there to make sure that people can be confident that the fundraising is being done properly. So we don't generally have, you know, a view one way or the other about the actual cause or the beneficiary. We try and sort of stay out of that. Mm. But there are some tests in the law about that. So obviously, if you don't have the consent of the beneficiaries that you're saying you're fundraising for, then we'll probably refuse your registration. Or as I said, you know, if you don't meet those important tests that you're not a fit and proper person to run a fundraiser, you're probably going to be refused. But also, if we think we've got reasonable grounds that we think you're not going to conduct it in good faith and for proper purposes, or if it's not in the public interest, those are considerations we need to take into account. So we wouldn't do that lightly, but those things are do need to be considered. And I guess, you know, when we're thinking about what's in the public interest, the sorts of things that the legislation is thinking about is, you know, if it's just not consistent with community attitudes or expectations, or if the administrative costs that you're going to retain compared to the amount you're going to pass on to the beneficiary are really out of whack and unreasonable, they would be things we'd have to consider seriously before we'd register.
Just on that, how much of the funds raised have to go to the beneficiaries?
Well, there's nothing in the law that has a specific threshold amount, but obviously it's an important consideration. And actually, it'll be, you know, people will know about it. So there's a public register that people can check that has everybody who's registered to do fundraising in Victoria. And it has some basic information, including how much is going into admin costs versus being passed on to the beneficiary, because it's obviously key information people want to know. And we know it can vary for various reasons. It doesn't mean it's not a good cause or not an efficient fundraiser, just because there might be some higher admin costs in some cases. But if we think there's going to be sort of less than half, less than 15% that's going to the beneficiaries, that will mean we're really going to look at it quite closely. And we also have the power to put conditions on people's registration. So, for example, we might say, okay, you can be registered, but as a condition of conducting your fundraising, you have to tell every person that you're seeking donations from just how much of their donation is actually going to go to the cause or the beneficiary. So that's one way that we can deal with that issue.
What are the requirements to maintain a registration as a fundraiser? Is there much there?
Yeah, it's not, I wouldn't say it's like overly onerous, but it is important for people to know that if you're at that $20,000 mark, you need to register, there are going to be some obligations. So the key ones are obviously, you know, doing that registration. Then while you're fundraising and at the end of any fundraising appeal that you do need to keep your financial accounts in line. So you need to be recording what's happening with the money you're collecting and where it's going. And you'll need to report back sort of at the end of your fundraising about that. And if it's an ongoing fundraising effort that you're doing, you know, you're just kind of regularly every year sort of doing things, then you'll need to lodge an annual statement with Consumer Affairs Victoria. As I said, it's not overly onerous, but you will need to tell us what's been happening and particularly some information about the financials of your fundraiser. And then, as I said, some of that is disclosed publicly. So important to know that you're going to be required to do that, which I think is important when we're talking about the fact that you're soliciting, you know, significant amounts of money from the public. Some basic transparency and accountability is probably important. If you're one of those big charities, you're registered with the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission, there's some streamlined laws that apply. So if you're a registered charity, you don't need to double report to us. We'll you know, you just report to the charities regulator and we'll, the law says that that's sufficient. But if you're kind of smaller, you're just doing some fundraising, then yeah, you might find yourself reporting to us every year.
We're chatting with Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria, about the legal do's and don'ts of fundraising. Nicole, how can we avoid a fundraising scam if we're on the other side and we want to donate?
Yeah, that's right. So that can happen too. You might not have the energy to do the fundraiser yourself, but you want some money to go to a good cause or you want to contribute your efforts. So we always recommend just making sure you donate, I guess, to established and known relief organisations and causes, probably ones that have a strong record. We just say be really careful if it's an unfamiliar charity or organisation. And of course, you can check the register. So you can check our fundraising public register and you can check the Charities Commission's register so that you can make sure that, you know, they're on a register if possible. And I would also say I would be really cautious about responding to unsolicited calls or emails asking for donations.
What about people at your front door? You know, they come to the
Yeah, and that's right. I'd just be really cautious. That's right. So, you know, if in those sorts of situations, you might actually think it's a legitimate cause and you might genuinely want to donate. I'd probably say just take your time. Like if that you get an unsolicited approach and you actually are thinking about donating, you don't have to feel pressured to donate on the spot. Maybe just have a think about it and then go to that charity's website yourself and make the donation that way. That'll just make sure. Unfortunately, scammers are pretty good now at like mocking up a fake website or pretending to be from a legitimate cause or charity. So maybe just navigate there yourself and then make the donation that way. That's a pretty good way of avoiding some of these scams. You know, unfortunately, people will sort of take advantage of people's goodwill and it's so frustrating and disappointing, but it does happen. So just be a bit careful out there.
Nicole, those are the people who are in public places. They might have the tin they're collecting with or they've got this skill. I don't know what it is. You don't look them in the eye, but they get your attention somehow. I don't know. It happened to me the other day walking into the supermarket and I never know who they are or what they're doing. So I don't donate in those situations. I prefer to give it to other places. But what requirements do apply to donation collectors in public places and I suppose also telephone employees as well? How can we check if they are registered?
Oh, I'm glad that you asked that actually, because I should have said that earlier. Like whether or not you have to register as a fundraiser in Victoria, there are some conduct obligations that apply to anybody that's doing fundraising, and that's quite broad, as I said earlier. So everybody does need to be aware of this. So some of the things you see when you're going to the supermarket or you're waiting at the lights and there's one of those charity collectors, some of those are because of these laws. So things like people who are collecting need to be clearly identified. They have to have that identification about who they are and who they're collecting for. If they're shaking a tin, there's actually rules around that collection tin. It has to be really securely contained. If people are being paid to help with fundraising, that in itself is not improper, but if people are being paid to contribute, then that needs to be disclosed as well, that they're a paid fundraiser.
So those ones that come up to you and say, excuse me, hello, have you got 5 minutes?
Yes.
And let's assume they're being paid. Should they have to disclose to us that they're being paid?
Yeah, they do need to do that. So if you ever have any concerns that that's not being done, please report it, because that would be quite a serious matter. I don't think it's okay to not comply with those laws. I mean, I don't think they're overly difficult to comply with, and they're pretty important, like just the basics. So the Victorian laws say things like you can't tell people false statements to collect their donations. You have to keep the donation secure. You have to tell people who you're collecting for. You have to tell people if you're being paid. They're pretty important fundamentals. So yeah, if you've ever got any concerns about that, and we do hear concerns sometimes about things like aggressive collection behaviour, please do report it to us.
That's good to know. When we do report that sort of information to you, what do we need to supply? Because often if they come running, I don't think anyone of those ones that says, have you got 2 minutes, has ever disclosed that they're being paid. But maybe it's because, Nicole, I haven't given them the 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. And they don't necessarily have to put it in the flashing lights in the first instance, but they'll need to tell you at some point in that engagement. That's right. So, yeah, maybe give them a few minutes next time and see, maybe give them a bit of a shadow shot.
I'll be
reporting you. And then you can report them. I find like most of those, look, there is a distinction, isn't there, about like it's a bit annoying or frustrating, but it's not illegal, right? Yeah. So, you know, you're allowed to solicit for donations for a cause. I think as long as you give people an informed choice, you're allowed to say, hey, have you got 2 minutes? It's maybe an irritation, but it's not unlawful. And, you know, they engage and often the money that's collected does go to a really good cause. So, you know, it's something that we have in the community. But where I think they're crossing the line is obviously if they're kind of not telling the truth to collect donations, or they're not disclosing who they're collecting for, or they're not telling the truth about that, those kind of things. That's where you're crossing the line.
What if there's, I mean, at the moment we've seen terrible floods up north. What if we want to set up an emergency fundraising appeal as a result of a natural disaster, for example?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think this is such a timely conversation. Obviously, these sort of things are happening a bit, unfortunately. And but, yeah, I'm really conscious of things like the floods. And obviously in Victoria, the drought is pretty significant in certain regions at the moment in our state. So I know that there are people out there saying, what can I do to help? Maybe I'll set up a fundraising appeal. And that's why I think this is a really important message. You absolutely can do that. We don't want to stop people really helping people in need. But we just know when people have got that goodwill, sometimes they can run afoul of some of these obligations. And then suddenly you find you're getting a letter from us saying, are you fundraising? You might not be complying with the law. So if you do want to do any of that, as I said, it's not too onerous, but just make sure you do your homework first. Get on the Consumer Affairs website. Just check out what you need to do. For a lot of those kind of fundraisers, you're probably not going to be collecting more than $20,000. So I suspect it'll be pretty light on in terms of what you need to do. But if you think you're going to be running a big fundraiser and you might be collecting more than that, yeah, make sure that you do jump online and register. As I said, it's free. And just make sure you do it a little bit ahead of when you start your fundraising as well, because it can just take a couple of weeks to get your registration sorted.
Nicole, was the chocolate with almonds? Or
maybe there was more than one occasion, but I'm not going to tell you that.
Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks, Warren. Catch you later.
That's Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. For more information, you can head to consumer.vic.gov.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.